Let's turn our Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter number 29. Genesis chapter number 29. You know, it's really bothered me for the past couple months to use reading glasses when I come up here to preach God's Word. I was in my study a few weeks ago, and don't say amen right here, but I realize I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. And had a deep thought. When I study and I jot down my notes to preach out of, I write big enough that I can see them without my glasses. And the thought, the revelation come to me was, Gunn, why don't you get a Bible that has larger writing? So I went out and bought a super giant print Bible. And I hope the Lord blesses tonight reading with no reading glasses. Genesis chapter 29. We'll begin reading in verse. Reading verse number 25. The Bible says, and it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said unto Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in her also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left barren. Father, tonight we want to thank you for your blessings, for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, the grace that was sung about, Lord, that unmerited favor, something we did not deserve. We realize tonight, Father, we're here saved and born again, sitting in the house of God because of your grace. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, somehow, some way, you'd help and bless your people. I pray, Father, you would show us some truths from the Word of God. And Father, I pray that you would help us tonight. Help us to see you high and lifted up, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this past week with Brother Leonard Fletcher, it was a blessing. Tuesday night, Brother Leonard Fletcher, he made a statement preaching out of the book of Acts, chapter number 16. He said, we need to pray and to praise the Lord. A simple statement, but yet that saying, that declaration, we need to pray and praise the Lord, has been ringing in my ears all week long. I believe if we practiced prayer and praise wholeheartedly as individuals and as a church as a whole, God would do mighty things in our midst. And tonight we find one that has prayed, but it's not till her 4th son Judah is born, she begins to praise the Lord. You know, I find tonight a very interesting phrase found in verse 35. Leah, she makes this statement. She said, "Now will I praise the Lord." You know, it's still in order, church, to praise the Lord. In this hour, this day, this age that we live in, many are trying to shut it off and trying to shut it down, for they say that it may embarrass those around them or make some be ashamed or uncomfortable. But as a representative of my Savior Jesus Christ tonight, I want to say it's still okay to praise the Lord. It doesn't matter our personality. It doesn't matter our background. It doesn't matter even the circumstances we're going through. We ought to go ahead and praise the Lord. The Bible says that He inhabits the praises of His people. If you haven't seen Him or felt Him or experienced Him in a while, maybe we need to praise the Lord. We find Leah, she makes this declaration. She says, "Now will I praise the Lord." That's the thought that's been on my heart the past few days. I will praise the Lord. We find in our text tonight, Leah, she's given a birth to her first son, Reuben. She's given birth to her second son, Simeon. She gives birth to her third son, Levi. And now this fourth son, she conceives, she bears a son, and calls his name Judah. His very name means praise. And as we are reading through this text and I was studying through this passage, the question popped into my mind, why is this boy, this fourth child, named Judah? I mean, why at this particular child, this particular place, this particular time, we find this one is named praised? I believe, and I hope you do as well, that every word, that every sentence, that every phrase, every verse, every jot, every tittle in our Bible, it's put there by divine authority. This book, it's not just some hodgepodge, piecemeal writings thrown together, but it's the divinely given, God-inspired, God-breathed, given to you and I. We find, I feel like, that there's something here that we find is a reason she begins to praise the Lord, and the reason that Judah's name means praise. I find to understand, and there's some things we need to realize, why this boy's name means praise. I find, first of all, the origin of his name. The origin of praise. In verse 35 of Genesis chapter 29 is the very first time we'll find the word praise in our Bible. If you started reading your Bible chronologically from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to Genesis chapter 29, it wouldn't be till verse 35 that you find the word praise. I don't know about you, but that kind of struck me as odd. That kind of struck me as funny. 29 chapters in the Word of God, and we're not introduced to the word praise. I think of a man by the name of Adam. Adam, he fell from the good graces of God. Adam sinned. Adam fell short. Adam disobeyed. But God didn't leave Adam to himself. God didn't cast Adam away. But moreover, he provided a sacrifice. He covered his nakedness. He covered his sin. You would think Adam had something to praise God about. I think of a man by the name of Abraham. He's living down there among the pagans. He's living down there among the heathen. We find Abraham. God speaks to Abraham. God reveals himself to Abraham. God shows himself to Abraham. He gives him a promise. He guided his journey. He blessed him with riches. You'd think Abraham had something to praise God about. I think of a man by the name of Noah. Noah, he's living there in a day where the Bible said his wickedness was great in the earth. And the Bible goes on to say the imagination and the thoughts of the hearts were continually evil. The Lord, due to that fact, was going to destroy his creation. But the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We find Noah, he walks out of that ark safe, secure, standing on dry ground, him and his family. I think Noah had something to praise God about. I think of a man by the name of Isaac. Isaac, we know he was carried high up on that mountain. There he was to be offered a sacrifice. He was to be offered a burnt offering. Nothing was going to be left of Isaac. Nothing we find was to be left, but somewhere on that mountain, caught in the thicket, God would provide himself a lamb. Isaac, he had that substitutionary sacrifice. Sounds like to me Isaac had something to praise God about. But God didn't use any of those men, any of these people, or any of their circumstances to introduce us to the word praise. Matter of fact, it's not till here that a little girl comes along, born by the name of Leah. He introduces us to praise. The Bible says of Leah, she was tender-eyed. Means that she was timid. She was soft and delicate. She was weak at heart, is the word. But to understand anything about Leah, we have to understand what her name means. Leah names mean weary and worn out. Here's a little girl that's lived a life weary and worn out. Comes from the word disgust. Living a life that she's just disgusted of everything. Not till God uses her, a weary, a worn out, fatigued, disgusted young girl, he introduces us to the word praise. Leah, may I say, she was unwanted. She was unloved and she was undesired, weary, but God introduces us to praise through this young girl. God waits 29 chapters to introduce us to this word praise. Through someone that's been exhausted, worn out by the circumstances of life, fatigued by the pressures of the world, weary in the way that she has been taken. If it had been Adam, we'd say we're not worthy. If it would have been Noah, we'd hesitate because none of us had ever been shut up in an ark for 370 days. If it had been Isaac, we'd say we can't praise the Lord because we don't know what it's like walking through there on that mountain. But God doesn't use somebody untouchable. He doesn't use extraordinary situations. He comes down to a little girl that's weary in life, that's worn out in life, disgusted by the things in her life, and he said, I'm going to introduce you to the word praise. Many times, I believe we say in our heart, when things gets better, I'll praise the Lord. When God fixes these heartaches in my life, I'll praise the Lord. When better times come and God answers my prayers, I'll praise the Lord. But in Leah's weariness, she made this statement. She said, now I will praise the Lord. If we hesitate, if we don't praise God in our weariness, when we're down and we're fatigued and we're out and feel all alone and unwelcome, let me say we won't praise God in the good times. I find it's in those places, in this place, in the weariness of life, in the disgust of life, are we introduced to praise. That's where praise originated from. From weariness. And tonight as we come to the house of God, I was thinking just a moment ago, you know the ones that really touch heaven? The ones that really reach up into heaven and bring it down into our service? It's not the ones that have all their ducks in a row. It's not the ones that's never had a problem or never walked a valley. But it's those that are weary in the way, worn out by the burdens and the pressures and the hardships that they're in, that they lift their heart and they lift their voice and begin to praise the Lord. She's weary in life. She's unwanted all her life and unwelcome all of her life and undesired all her life. God uses that to introduce us to praise. You know, I want to encourage you tonight, church. It's through our weariness, and it's in our weariness that one's praise will reach the ears of God. Brother Fletcher, he preached about it this week. He preached there in that inner prison. In that inner prison, beaten, isolated, all alone, in shackles. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, they were in the weariness of life, worn out. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Do you know why Leah had these sons? Do you know why Leah the Lord opened her womb. Because in verse 31, the Bible says when the Lord saw Leah was hated, unloved, unwanted, undesired by her very husband. But she stopped and she said, Jacob may not love me like he ought to. This world may reject me, but I'm worn out, I'm weary, I'm disgusted. But I know somebody that does love me. I know somebody that has never left me. I know someone that's blessed me time and time again. So I think I will now just stop and praise the Lord. That was me, church. I was on my way to a hot hell. Had no hope. Sinking deeper and deeper in sin. But the Lord, in a good time, at the right time, at the best time, revealed himself to me, saved my soul. He cleansed me from my sins, put me in the family of God, and now he's coming back so I can live in his presence forever. She says, in my weariness, when I had no hope, when I was unloved, I'm going to stop and praise the Lord. The origin of praise, it comes from weariness and being disgusted. Now, I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about myself. That there's been times in my life where I found myself disgusted. Disgusted with myself, disappointed in myself, disappointed in others, thought they would do right or do better. And a lot of times in that weariness of life, we know it's not peaches and cream in the Christian life. But God says, if you'll just stick with me, if you'll just trust me, if you'll just keep going for me in the weariness of life, I'll bring praise to your lips and glory for my honor. You know, the oldest book in our Bible, it's not the book of Genesis. It's the book of Job. And the book of Job, it starts out with a man sitting down in ashes, a man clothed in sackcloth, a man who lost everything. Sat there in that dusty pile, he looked up into heaven. He said, I don't know a lot of things. I don't understand a lot of things. I can't perceive a lot of things. But I do know this, my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. He said, I'm blessed anyway. I'm going to see the Lord God my anyway. He said, now I will praise the Lord. The last book written in our Bible, it's not the book of Revelation. It's the book of James. Brother Keith preached on it last week. James starts off the book of James. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. James said, you ought to just go ahead and be happy. Because that weariness, being worn out, being disgusted by the things of life is going to come your way. Go ahead and be happy. You know, it started off in Job. It started off rough. It ends rough in James. But I'm glad tonight, church, we're not living for this world. We're living for a better world. We're living for where a better day's dawning, where the sun is rising, where we can stop in our weariness and our heaviness and the burdens of life and say like Leah, now will I praise the Lord. The origin of praise in our Bible, it comes from this young lady who's weary, who's worn out, who's disgusted. Let me ask a question. Can you praise God in your weariness? The origin of weariness or praise comes from weariness, but I also see the orchestration of praise or the orchestration of Judah. You know, chapter 29, it covers a vast amount of time. In these 35 verses, it starts out with Jacob coming to a well. There they're watering the sheep. Jacob sees this young lady bringing this sheep. And there Jacob falls in love with Rachel. And Rachel's a beautiful woman. She's attractive, gorgeous to look upon. He falls in love with her. Jacob says, take me to your father Laban. We find that he tends to marry Rachel. And he asks Laban to marry her. And Laban says, well, what is she to you? What's your price that you'll pay? And he tells Laban that I'll serve you for 7 years for your daughter Rachel. For 7 years, Jacob served. 7 years he labored. 7 years he worked and he toiled, and he was Laban's servant. But the Bible says it seemed to Jacob as just a few days. But then during that wedding ceremony, during that great feast, Laban pulls a quick one on Jacob. Instead of giving Jacob Rachel, he gives Jacob Leah. Leah's that older sister. She's that one that by all rights should have been married first. She wasn't as beautiful as Rachel. She wasn't as attractive as Rachel. She was that older sister that wasn't talked about like Rachel was. But by the customs of the land, she was to be married first. You know, Pastor, I was reading some commentators say that Leah had some kind of defect that wasn't as attractive to her eyes. We know she was tender-eyed, she was timid, soft-hearted, she was delicate. But for some reason, she didn't have Jacob's heart like Rachel did. I'm talking about the orchestration of Judah. If you could go back and ask Leah a few questions. Ask Leah and ask her, Leah, how in the world? You were the older sister. Leah, we know that you wasn't as attractive as your younger sister Rachel. How did you ever get a husband like Jacob? How are you blessed with these four boys, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah? And no one ever thought, Leah, you'd been married. We thought that you would just grow old and you would be single all your life. You would never fall in love or have someone to love you. Leah, how did you get so blessed? I believe she'd answer something like this. I don't know how I got in this situation. I don't know how it happened. I don't know how I ever got blessed. All I know, I was minding my own business. My father came around, and this was my father's doing. I'm blessed because of all these sons. My father orchestrated it. You know, I can tell you, church, as a whole, we're a lot like Leah. Without someone intervening, without someone orchestrating, we wouldn't be here in the house of God tonight. Like Leah, we'd all be still sitting alone, left to ourselves, left with no hope, left in the dark, no hope for the bridegroom, but our Father intervened. Our Father came around. Our Father began to orchestrate and place things in our path. And we're here tonight and we're blessed. We're in the will of God, saved and sealed and secure because our Father began to orchestrate these things in our life. The orchestration of Judah. I don't know how I got here. My Father orchestrated it. There's that song we sing, there is an unseen hand to me that leads me through places or ways I cannot see. By going through this world of weariness and this world of woe, there's still a hand that leads me as I go. I'm trusting to this unseen hand. To church, we're here tonight because our Father orchestrated it all. Leah, how'd you get here? I don't know. I didn't deserve it. It was by grace. My Father had everything to do with it. All he told me is what to do and where I'm going. And here I am, blessed by a young boy, my fourth son, named Judah. I think I'll just now praise the Lord. July 4th, 1939. The New York Yankees honored one of the greatest baseball players in history. There to sell out crowd in Yankee Stadium. Lou Gehrig, he ended his speech, his acceptance speech, by this phrase. Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. Tonight, church, let me say tonight, I consider myself the most blessed man on the face of the earth. I've been saved and born again. My sins have been forgiven. A beautiful wife, precious girls, a wonderful church family, a dear pastor, food in my stomach, clothes on my back, a home in heaven. I'm blessed, blessed, blessed. Why, Gunn? Because my Father orchestrated it all. Judah would have never been born. Leah would have never got married if her father hadn't have stepped in. Do you know when you'll praise the Lord? It's not the Rachel or the Rachels in life that praise the Lord. See, her beauty, her attractiveness could get her to that place. But Leah's couldn't. We'll praise the Lord tonight, church, when we realize that we had nothing to do with it. There's an origin of praise, the origin of Judah. I see this orchestration of Judah, and lastly, and I'm done, I see the order of Judah. Notice Judah, he's not the first son born. Look at verse number 31. The Bible says, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. It wasn't until her fourth son she began to praise the Lord. Church, you got to be honest with yourself tonight. You know, when those things come our way, good or bad, praise is usually not the first thing we do. It wasn't until our fourth son is born. But notice Reuben's name. His name means, behold a son. She comes out with this little boy by the name of Reuben and says, behold a son. Look what I've done. Look what I've proved myself to you. You said I wouldn't get married. I wasn't as attractive as Rachel. I'm determined to prove I could do this. Look what I've done. Behold a son. She conceives again. Verse number 33, and she conceived again and bare a son. And because the Lord had heard that I was hated, and hath therefore given me this son also, she called his name Simeon. Simeon means heard. God heard her cry. Now she's saying, behold a son. The fourth son, or the third son, verse 34, and she conceived again and bare a son, and now this time my husband will be joined to me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Levi's name means joined. She's worrying about she'd never bear a son. She says, behold a son. Their second son, Simeon, he's heard. He's heard my cry. Now we find his third son, Levi. She's worried about Jacob loving her. Jacob joining her. Look what I've done. God's heard me. Now Jacob will love me. Jacob will accept me. Jacob will want me like he does Rachel. Verse 35, and she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left barren. In verse number 35, there's no more talking about Jacob. She's not talking about what she could do or what she's done by bearing a son. She's not trying to worry about staying in the good graces of Jacob. All she's saying is, the Lord has given me this son. He's heard my past cry. If he didn't orchestrate it, I wouldn't have been here. So I'll just now think I'll go ahead and praise the Lord. Trying to say tonight, church, we need to pray and we need to praise. Praising God in our weariness. Praising God in the pressures of this life. In the hardships and the valleys that we go through. Can you praise the Lord? Leah was weary. Leah was worn out. She was even disgusted. But she said, I think now I'll go ahead and praise the Lord. Father, tonight we want to thank you for your blessings, for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, no doubt tonight we have many, many things to praise you for. And God, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Father, no doubt some are weary, some are worn out, going through this life and the ways and the battles they're in. God, I pray, though, that they could look to you in all things and focus upon you, realizing, Lord, that through weariness, through the pressures of life, And through the disgust of life, we're introduced to praise. I praise your name, God, for what you've done for this church. Father, how you've blessed this church and helped this church time and time again through the things we've went through. God, I praise you tonight for salvation by grace through faith. God, you've been good to us. And Lord, I want to tell you I love you tonight for who you are, for what you've done, and what you're going to do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anna Lee, if you'll come and play something or sing something on the piano, I'd appreciate that. Let's stand tonight.